The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Where do you stand as a leader? Are there things you would change about your business or organization? Welcome to What's Leadership Got to Do with It with your host, Rick Thiemann. Together, we'll explore the five dynamics that exist in every workplace, as well as answer some of your leadership questions. Now, here's your host, Rick Thiemann.
Hey, good morning to those of you who are on the West Coast, and good afternoon on the East Coast. My name is Rick Thiemann. I'm your host for the day. On the show, What's Leadership Got to Do with It? And interestingly enough, the title of today's show is on leadership. It's called Developing Leaders from Within. My guest today is Shannon Levitt, a longtime business associate that I work with at several clients that we'll introduce more formally in just a second. But you're listening to What's Leadership Got to Do with It? I'm Rick Thiemann with the Executive Group. The Executive Group was founded 20 years ago. It's a organizational development consulting firm that works in numerous aspects of the world of business. You can check us out on the website at www.theeg.com. If you've got questions on leadership or you've got questions about things Shannon and I are going to discuss today, you can call in at 866-472-5790. The book, What's Leadership Got to Do with It, and the show are founded on some basic principles that I refer to as the Fundamental Five. And What's Leadership Got to Do with It speaks to the fact that leadership has to understand that it must pay attention to the Fundamental Five. And so there is no real chapter in the book about leadership per se, but this week's show and next week's show, we're going to talk about that leadership piece, but more importantly, kind of a leadership process. And I've asked Shannon to be on the show today, as you'll soon find out. Shannon's depth of background and the work that we've done over a number of organizations, that Shannon and I have worked at, we'll be talking about today. But as we look at leadership as a whole, there's kind of some questions that needs to surface or emerge that we're going to kind of uncover today and explore with Shannon. And that is, what does a leadership process look like? And do you have a sound leadership process in place? And if not, why not? And if you think you do, based on the discussions that Shannon and I are going to have today, when you come away with this, will you be able to discern whether or not you've really got a strong program or not so strong a program? But Shannon, welcome to the show.
Well, hello, Rick. I'm very glad to be here. And it is morning in the beautiful Rocky Mountains.
And it is beautiful where Shannon lives. I've been there. It's a great place up in the Rockies. Jealous. But Shannon and I worked together at PepsiCo General Bottlers and a little bit at Sears during her stint there, and then a lot at Corporate Express. But Shannon, why don't you kind of fill the listeners in on your background in terms of the world of organizational development and the roles you've held?
Be glad to, Rick. I've had about 25 plus years, and I'm really dating myself, in leadership and organization development in companies as diverse as Sears, you mentioned, Corporate Express, which is now a Staples company, Pepsi Americas, which is now owned wholly by Pepsi, Tenneco, and McDonnell Douglas. And while my roles have been as varied as having responsibility for, say, corporate restructuring and streamlining, team building and culture, performance management, strategic planning, sales force development, and so on, there's really nothing more professionally satisfying to me than ensuring the right fit between a leader and the role and helping to develop existing and emerging leaders well beyond their current capabilities. I guess that's my maternal instinct. And it was really that reason that led me to your organization, Rick, the Executive Group. Around 1999, I think, is when we began our relationship, and I started using you quite extensively as a consultant.
And we had some great times. And for those of you who have been following the show, you'll remember our very first guest was Marty Scaminacci, where we talked about corporate culture. And Marty was at PepsiCo General Bottlers when Shannon was there, and Shannon hooked up Marty and I to work on Marty's department among other things. And then I had the privilege of working with Shannon in with the high potential group at Pepsi. That blossomed into the kind of the leadership stuff that we're going to talk about today, and a lot of the work that we did at Corporate Express. And that's why I'm just excited to have Shannon on the show, because in 20 years of doing this, and I can honestly say this without any intrepidation at all, but in the 20 years of doing this, and the number of organizations I've worked with, and especially on the segment concerning leadership, Shannon is one of the true professionals who really gets it. And if the other organizations that I've worked with could just recognize some of the things that we're going to talk about today that prohibit them from having a successful leadership program, I think you'll come away with some meaningful stuff from today's show. And one of the things that has kind of really excited me about working with Shannon and the opportunity to have her back on the show today is that when you look at leadership, and I'm going to ask Shannon to speak to some of these things, but really there's six things that really go into an emerging, strong, sound leadership program, and that is the first thing that is there's got to be a sound business strategy and how it's defined. And Shannon's got a great example I'll let her speak to in a moment. The second thing is that once you've got that established, you've got to have the understanding of what competencies are necessary to drive the business strategy and your business intent, which is why our tagline is called Linking Human Capital with Strategic Intent. The third thing that comes behind it is you've got to have a really sound assessment process. One of the things that, again, we work with Shannon and where she's been at is that assessment process we use that we call Strategic Leadership Assessment. The fourth thing is you've got to provide a really strong feedback system and a feedback loop, almost in a tough love component piece that engages the executive. Then you've got to have an accountability process that's driven from the leader of the organization, the owner of the organization, who drives the organization, not something that's mandated by HR, which I oftentimes see it is, and the true leadership says, well, that's HR's function, or that's Shannon's function in the OD world, and the true leader doesn't really engage it and then hold people accountable. And then the last thing is that, and Shannon's going to speak to this at the end of the show, is the ongoing support and development that's necessary, and what she did with Pepsi's work in Total Beverage University, which was really a great outcome of that. So those are the six things that we're going to try to hammer out in this show. If we don't complete that, we'll roll that into next week's show as we continue the world of leadership in next week's show. But those six fundamental things are some of the things that we want to try to give examples of Shannon's rich background and where she's worked and what she's done and the ability for me to support her in those functions to achieve that kind of success in that world. But Shannon, you had a great example of defining a business strategy. If you'd share that with them, I think it's a great example.
Sure. When I first came to Pepsi Americas, they had just gone through their very first strategic planning process. And they had, several business strategies. And when I looked at it, you know, as just a layperson, I found it a little diffused based on my upbringing in systems thinking and competitive differentiation. And I believe as an OD practitioner or a human resource professional, you must have everything really solidly grounded in your organization's business strategy and how they're going to compete in a different way than their competition. So the leaders must see and appreciate from the earliest stages that the LD/OD practitioner is basing any competencies, any assessment and testing, and any subsequent HR practices directly upon the specific needs of the business. So a model that I've used successfully and used successfully at Pepsi Americas was Porter's model of competitive differentiation, which asserts that a company can very strongly compete in one area of differentiation, can moderately strongly compete in two areas, and will be weak if they attempt all three areas. And so as I discussed this with the senior team, I outlined those areas. One would be product innovation. For example, Apple is known for exemplary product innovation. That is its competitive differentiation in the marketplace. Customer service would be second. customer service and loyalty, and as those of us who shop till we drop know, Nordstrom is really a very strong player in that. That is their differentiation in the marketplace. And then finally, operating effectiveness and cost efficiencies. So whether you like Walmart's business practices or you don't, clearly the way that they have set their business strategy is based on operating effectiveness and cost efficiencies. So this was the starting point, Rick, at Pepsi Americas for really understanding the business strategies, making sure I was crystal clear on those as a starting point for the leadership competency and assessment work that followed. Now, I know you spend a lot of time understanding your clients' strategic business plans or actually facilitating them if they don't have strategic business plans. So tell us a little bit about the grounding, the work that you use as grounding for the executive group's work that you set the stage prior to the assessment and competency modeling.
Well, you know, we did two shows not too long ago on the third chapter of the book called Hope is Not a Business Plan, and where we talked about business structure and business strategy and business plans gone awry. But it's so, you know, that our tagline is linking human capital with strategic intent, and that is that you've got to have the human capital to drive whatever the strategy is and vice versa. And so an organization to be able to set strategy and then be able to align their leaders with that strategy and that vision. So if you've got people who are, you need people who are change agents, and your leadership team is relatively, you know, been there 30 years and they've all been there, and that's all the only place they've ever worked, and they're all pretty conservative, and they're not all about risk, and they're all about making sure we've got cost efficiencies, and you want change, it's not happening with the leaders you got in place. So, you know, when we began to work with you, Shannon, in your high potentials, we had almost 80 people identified as up and coming high potential leaders in the organization. One of them became the CFO. Another one has now become one of the senior marketing directors for PepsiCo. So, you know, when you look at leadership per se, you've got to understand what the business strategy is. So as you move into then being able to help an organization then align their leaders with the strategic intent, it's much easier if that business model is laid out. If it's not, you're kind of shooting carp.
Absolutely.
But so once you've got that business strategy defined, and then you've got your companies, you begin to align those things, you know, it becomes much easier then to start to deploy a competency model and then map your people to the competency model, which I think, and tell me if I'm wrong, Shannon, but I think was more successful, your efforts at Corporate Express, than it was Pepsi Americas.
Well, you know, we all learn from our past experiences, and, you know, mine is a never-ending learning process. And you're right. Once the executive team is confident that the LD practitioner or the HR person really understands what they're trying to achieve from a business perspective, then you've built the platform to discuss leadership competencies most critical to helping them achieve success. I'll give you an example. Since you mentioned Corporate Express, we went through a simplification period following the departure of our chairman in, I guess it was late 2006. Our new leader took us from about 33 what was called strategic business imperatives down to two key concepts, the right focus and the right execution. Now, from a competency perspective, I knew that a vital piece of strategy that was missing was what I called right people, and so persuaded him to adopt this critical dimension into a coherent three-part strategy. You'll remember, Rick, then, that we went about the business of identifying a set of critical competencies under each of these three strategies.
Right.
And so, in turn, when we presented these, they immediately resonated with the senior team because of their obvious alignment to the business.
Yeah. So that's our cue to take. We're going to be taking a break here in about 30 seconds. You're listening to What's Leadership Got to Do With It? I'm your host, Rick Thiemann, with my esteemed guest and colleague Shannon Levett. We've worked together for a long time, and hopefully a long time to come as well. You've been listening to What's Leadership Got to Do With It? If you've got questions about leadership or your leadership program, call us at 866-472-5790 or send us an email to rick@theeg.com, and we'll continue with our discussion on developing leaders from within when we come back from the break.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. 20 years of research shows us that 20 to 25% of an organization's sales force is underwater. A salesperson selling at 75% of quota is costing you at least $5,000, including opportunity costs. Our program, Developing Sales Force Effectiveness, shows you how to manage these underperformers more effectively. Improving the sales effectiveness of just two salespeople will give you a 100% return on investment. For more information, visit the Executive Group website at www.theeg.com.
Tune in every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. On the show, Aldana and some of today's top business professionals will discuss some of today's most pressing business issues that hold you, the business owner, back. Aldana will also give you 21 ways to grow with her list of growth strategies. Grow smart, grow profit, and grow your business with Aldana Ambler and The Growth Strategist every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time. Right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
For the past 20 years, the Executive Group has helped organizations recruit, select, train, develop, and coach their most valuable asset, their people. Whether entry-level or top leadership, the Executive Group uses a variety of tools considered to be the gold standard in assessments and development to provide insight and direction to help our clients show the greatest return on their most valuable investment. For more information on how the Executive Group can help you link strategic intent with human capital, visit our website at www.theeg.com. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. You are listening to What's Leadership Got to Do with It, featuring your host, Rick Thiemann. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to assessment@theeg.com. Now, back to Rick Thiemann.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to What's Leadership Got to Do with It. I'm your host, Rick Thiemann, with our guest, Shannon Levitt. We're talking about developing leaders from within and creating a leadership process and a leadership program that really exemplifies growth. But, you know, one of the things that I think is important that a lot of organizations miss, and Shannon, I'd like you to speak to this in terms of where you've been, but, you know, establishing a leadership pipeline, while it's a key competitive advantage, it's not the same thing as succession planning. And I think the companies fail to establish leadership as a job requirement. In other words, I think they wind up running through executives through a rotating checklist or punch list of jobs, but they don't really recognize that each one of those roles is a developmental aspect around the world of leadership. Shannon, what have you seen in terms of where you've been and of course, coming in as an OD professional, trying to get an organization to set a culture that helps you derive that what you've been challenged to do is sometimes tough, is it not?
It is tough. I think... You know, as an OD practitioner or LD practitioner, you really want to remove any obstacle that you can to impeding that leadership development curriculum. I'm a big believer in Bill Byam's acceleration pools. What we did at Sears, just in order to ensure long-term accountability and that we could progress with our system of leadership development, we had an 18-month program called LEAP, which was Leadership Embedment and Acceleration Program. And we used our executive staff as teachers, guides, and mentors. And then further, we overlaid the LEAP calendar with our strategic and operating calendars, our advertising calendar, our new store openings, seasonal product changes, and so forth, so that those executives could really commit to not only the timing and the concept of what was included in that calendar, but could play leadership roles, could take a teaching role, could take a mentoring role. And I think, you know, building that in from the very beginning is what distinguishes just your talent planning from your actual leadership development.
So before the break, we started talking about competencies and how once you got your business model defined and how you're going to go to market, and now you're trying to align what the competencies are. You know, I want to kind of give the listeners an example of of a competency model. And one of the things that we have available for those who are listening and may be interested, we can email to you, is called our LCI, or our Leadership Competency Inventory. It's a list of 64 different competencies that could be utilized and mapped out against what the organization is trying to do. But too many competencies can cause an executive to be disjointed, and you can't manage that many competencies as an executive anyway. And Shannon, when we did the work at Corporate Express, we started out with 6 competencies, and then that later grew to 8. But for the audience, just to kind of get a flavor for what those competencies were, executives were graded against the competencies around achieving business results and forward planning, building customer loyalty, adaptability, leading and coaching others, and then self-management. And Shannon, that was later expanded to what and why.
Well, we did add a couple of other things, you know, that were under right people, strengthen partnerships, manage self. You know, we used a lot of the work that you did, Rick, around executive savvy, and really emotional competence, and added manage self in there. And the way that we approached it at Corporate Express is, I said earlier, we had right focus, right people, and right execution. And so from that, we identified the 8 set of competencies underneath that, and then the behavior-based anchor points that would show whether an executive was doing very, very well, what would be an ideal behavior under each of those competencies, and what would show if they were not mastering that competency very well. Now, we went through a laborious process of focus groups and interviews and various data analysis to come up with this and to vet this with the senior staff. I wish we had had then, Rick, what you have now, which is your leadership competency inventory. It's kind of a checklist that we could have looked through and probably streamlined it a bit. But the important part is, regardless of which you use, that the executive group sees that your competencies are very well grounded in their business strategy.
So once we move to the competency evaluation, and of course, for just as for those to give our listeners a greater understanding, you and I work to do, in conjunction with Dr. Steve O'Shaughnessy, who did the European executives, you, Shannon and I worked on doing the U.S. executives, and those executives then, in our third point of developing a strong business plan beyond strategy and competencies, is a sound assessment. And one of the things that we worked with really hard, we did a lot of work with this at Pepsi and the high potential group, but I think we did a deeper dive, it's safe to say, with the executives at Corporate Express, in that we really had a set of competencies to map to versus a set of learning initiatives that we adapted to for Pepsi. Is that a fair statement?
That's a fair statement, absolutely. You know, once you've laid the foundation for what's required for a high-performance, high-potential culture, and then you said, here are the competencies that need to be mastered, and you know, then the next step, obviously, is to evaluate yourself both as, as individuals within that team and as a collective organization against those competencies. So these evaluations will help an organization set its development agenda. At Pepsi Americas, we did this through a combination of, upfront initial evaluation that we called part of our talent management process. And it was based on, let's see, performance history, breadth and depth, career motivation, and their behaviors as evaluated against our competency model. But subsequently, to your point earlier, Rick, when we had those 80 folks, then we put them through a much deeper dive, a battery of your personality and cognitive test that helped us pinpoint with laser accuracy the development opportunities not only for the individual but for the leadership team as a whole. And you remember that you and I and my staff then started developing what we call Total Beverage University curriculum around these competencies.
Yep.
With
all
a special eye toward developing our weak spots.
Yep. So we had a complete matrix.
We did, yeah.
For those listening, we had a huge matrix that we created of all the classes that Shannon had at at Pepsi with the Total Beverage University. I think there were like 16 classes that you had. And we did a complete matrix for every executive and what classes they needed based on where their gaps lied, so that then when Shannon's team went out to do the training in the field, they could make sure that those leaders were plugged into those classes as they came up, in terms of that development. And those are some of the things I think organizations overlook. The interesting thing, though, I think the added plus that we did at Corporate Express that we didn't do at Pepsi was we added in a 360 into the assessment process. Besides the battery of assessments that we use, we added in that component piece to that element, which added additional value in getting perspective from the organization as well as the interviews. And I think I conducted 3-hour interviews with each of the leaders, and then we did the test results. We had the 360, and all that data was compiled into a customized individual development report, and we'll talk about that in the next segment. But we're talking about the assessment process right now and how you go about really understanding assessments as a means to evaluate talent, and not just as a means of using a 360, because 360s, in my opinion, don't always yield you the data that you need. And what I mean by that is, and Shannon, I want to maybe expand on that, and we've got a couple minutes before the break, just to keep that in mind. But when I talk about the assessment process, including a battery of assessments and an interview, but it's also the 360. But my take is 360s don't always work all that well. Shannon, what's your thoughts?
I completely agree with you, particularly if that's the only data point that you have. You know, one of the things I'd like to say in support of your EDR, your executive development report, is that unlike multi-rater feedback or constructive feedback from the boss, this battery of assessments reveal what the leader has to say about him or herself, or how they scored relative to the standardized test. And in my long experience, this goes a long way in overcoming what is a common objection among leaders. I have been misunderstood, my actions have been misinterpreted, or even worse, those respondents are somehow motivated to undermine me and my career.
Or the best one is, those are my results, I just don't care.
Well, that too. But the self-report and testing battery is helpful in every situation, and it really does overcome that initial reaction that all of us as human beings have to discount the data.
Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about assessments specifically and the kind of assessments that are valuable for your organization. Most organizations might use or be familiar with maybe a Myers-Briggs, or might try to use the DISC or predictive index. And we're going to talk just a little bit about the extent of a battery and what that really looks like. And last week's show, we talked about making sense of testing and using assessments in the selection process. We're going to carry that forward in this next segment to talk about assessments in the development process as well. So you're listening to What's Leadership Got to Do With It. I'm your host, Rick Thiemann. If you've got any questions, call us at 866-472-5790 or send us an email to rick@theeg, that's theeg.com, or check us out on the web. You can also download all the previous shows off of our website at www.theeg.com. So we'll look forward to having you after the break.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network. For the past 20 years, the Executive Group has helped organizations recruit, select, train, develop, and coach their most valuable asset, their people. Whether entry-level or top leadership, the Executive Group uses a variety of tools considered to be the gold standard in assessments and development to provide insight and direction to help our clients show the greatest return on their most valuable investment. For more information on how the Executive Group can help you link strategic intent with human capital, visit our website at www.theeg.com. 20 years of research shows us that 20 to 25% of an organization's sales force is underwater. A salesperson selling at 75% of quota is costing you at least $5,000, including opportunity costs. Our program, Developing Sales Force Effectiveness, shows you how to manage these underperformers more effectively. Improving the sales effectiveness of just 2 salespeople will give you a 100% return on investment. For more information, visit the Executive Group website at www.theeg.com.
No family can survive on two incomes anymore, let alone one. If you are supplementing your family's income working from home, then tune into The Cash Flow Show, Direct Sales Radio. Host Deb Bixler brings you sales tips, lead generation systems, and best business practices that guarantee direct sales success. Whether you're looking for a little extra cash or a career change, The Cash Flow Show, Direct Sales Radio will give you proven systems that will work in your home business. The Cash Flow Show every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are listening to What's Leadership Got to Do With It, featuring your host, Rick Thiemann. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to assessment@theeg.com. Now, back to Rick Thiemann.
Hey, welcome back. I'm your host, Rick Thiemann, with my guest, Shannon Levette, and we're talking about developing leaders from within and creating a strong, robust leadership process and the things that need to go into it if you're really going to have a strong outcome to fill your pipeline of up-and-coming and emerging leaders. And the problem with most succession planning is that it's typically looked at as, you know, that's what's going to replace the CEO or the president. But succession planning needs to come in many forms. But without a leadership program, you don't have the people to fill the succession planning pipeline necessary as you look at people moving up and into the organization. So we're talking about now assessing people and looking at assessments. And Shannon first became introduced into one of the assessments that I use, which is called the 16PF, and which represents 16 personality factors. That really measures the breadth and depth of an individual. Before the break, I mentioned some organizations might use the Myers-Briggs or the Predictive Index or DISC in terms of kind of looking at personality traits. But those really aren't deep enough if you're going to have a robust program to evaluate your leaders beyond just 360s. Your 360s need to be supported by interviews as well. But on the assessment process, it goes beyond that in that you're looking to really look at both the positive and negatives and the deep-seated behaviors of an individual. And not only do we use the 16PF, but we use an instrument called the Hogan, which looks at an executive where he might be cause himself or herself to derail, which we had a couple. And actually, Shannon brought me a coaching assignment where we had someone almost ready to derail. We didn't use the Hogan in that instance because we weren't using it at the time, but Shannon, if you would, in your experiences and all the different things that you've seen and different vendors you've used over the years, you thank God found value in us and selected us over the course of your work. But what was the differentiator for you in not only the instrument I used, but maybe in the battery versus some of the other things that you've seen?
Well, first of all, the 16PF is a renowned and very, very robust assessment tool in and of itself, even without the other pieces. And as an HR person, I need to also point out that, given the Myers-Briggs and the DISC and some of the other things that you mentioned, the 16PF is legally defensible. And that's because it has a research body and background over time. So it can actually be a hiring criteria. You know, it can be one data point in your hiring or promotion criteria, and it is legally defensible. Now, when you wrap your other assessments around that, as you have done, the Hogan, the Watson-Glaser, the Culture Fair, even DISC to a certain amount, then you come up with feedback for that individual that is extraordinarily robust. And one of the things that tipped us to your organization versus some other organizations was your ability to synthesize, triangulate, and put into very pragmatic terms the feedback so that the client receiving that feedback report, what you call the executive development report, could clearly see what you were getting at. You may remember a thing that you did for us at Corporate Express that we didn't do at Pepsi was you actually modified your executive development report feedback to align with our competencies, which took away one more objection that that an executive may have had. So the executive didn't have to make the connection between general feedback and what the, how they were expected to behave. You took the time to align the feedback around our internally well-known competencies, and that made it much more useful.
And that, and in all honesty, in the 20 years doing that, that was probably one of the most challenging assignments, but one of the most rewarding and refreshing assignments, because it, to me, it took my game to another level, because it, it helped me really understand that it's beyond just the feedback, but now how do the, when you look at behavior and how behavior links to the competency, and what I mean by that for the listeners to help you understand the behavior to the competency, and that is, if you've got a very practical, pragmatic thinker who is very structured and very rigid and very conforming and very traditional in his approach, that has an average level of intellect, and you're asking that person to provide a strategic planning initiative for a major division or a major product rollout or a major project innovation, they can't get there because they don't have that mental acuity piece that helps them make that leap. So when you look at an assessment process and you're trying to determine why an executive is derailing and they're not achieving success, you can look at the assessments and really help understand what's going on. And one of the individuals in the leadership group with Corporate Express had just come back from an expatriate assignment. And in my discussions with him, he revealed the fact that he was really frustrated with being micromanaged by his boss. And this is a guy who ran a huge division in Atlanta and then got a huge international assignment, did phenomenal work, then comes back and takes the U.S. position and gets managed by a micromanager, and he's just about pulling his hair and about ready to self-destruct. Well, it's the behavior that's getting in the way of the competency, because he's got to change the competency based on his new role. So leaders tend to derail, and Shannon, you gave me one coaching, very tough coaching assignment, I might add, when we were PepsiCo gel bottlers. But speak to the derailing thing and the behaviors of being able to kind of get at understanding behaviors, and then where to go to really create the coaching and development piece to help an executive get on track.
Sure. I remember the case that you're talking about, and I remember the tough love feedback that you provided this person was absolutely essential to turning around their career. This was a very promising young leader who was sabotaging his own career by his behavior. And I think, you know, one of the things I've learned from you over the years, Rick, is your phrase, a strength overused becomes a weakness. And I think you need to, you know, any leader needs to understand the context within which they're working. And if you go from an expat assignment to a U.S. assignment, or you go from, you know, running your own business unit to being part of a team that runs a business unit, you know, as those contexts change, then, you know, you need to work on shifting and changing how you use your competencies. I know you had a guest on a recent show that talked about the successful makeup of a team and the importance of understanding that some individuals are more technical and some are more people-oriented. Well, I have to say that as early as the 80s, I was preaching, you know, during that downsizing period, that was really no longer valid, that a leader has to have the ability to play across the technical and people axes of the competencies. And that's really what led me to using a battery like yours, because it provides a well-rounded, versatile set of feedback for that leader. The whole, you know, situational leadership means that a leader has to be able to flex and bend and adapt as the context changes. So, having that EDR to really give tough love feedback to individuals, especially in that intervention that you're talking about, that intervention situation, is absolutely essential.
So you know, the example then is you've got a marketing professional who's been a functional manager in a marketing role for 6 years, and has been prior to that 12 years in a very functional role. He's got to see himself differently and learn how to see himself differently when he becomes a business unit manager. He's got to give up the view of himself as a marketing person as the most important aspect of his job. He's got to shift that thought process. And if he does not achieve a broader perspective of what he needs to become, he's still going to become stuck is that old functional manager in a business manager role, and guess what's going to happen? He's going to derail, and he's going to self-destruct. And then the organization is going to go, well, how can that be? He was such a great guy. He did such a good job in the last role. We don't understand why he's not succeeding in this role. And that happens over and over and over again. So your assessment process can then feed back to say, okay, so is the person coachable? Can we bring them out of the nosedive? Do they have the skills that they need? If not, what are the new competencies? And more importantly, what are the behavioral shifts they need to make? Ties back into the behavioral piece and the 16PF and some of the things that when we began to do, you actually did the coaching piece. I didn't do the coaching piece for Corporate Express once the development reports were emerged. But one of the funny parts was is that when I met with one of the executives at Corporate Express and we were going over his 360 results, he says, you know, nothing's really changed. It's pretty much the same as it was before. And I said, yeah. And isn't it sad that you haven't changed yourself knowing that you needed to change?
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at that piece of moving from then the sound assessment to the strong feedback, using the development, the executive development report, Shannon, how are you able to really target in on that feedback? Have you got an example or two?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, as an LD lead, you really have to take the robustness of your EDR and make that actionable. So you are filled with practical on-the-job experiences in that EDR, things that you tell that candidate, here are some very specific suggestions based on the potential weaknesses I see within your profile. The Lessons of Experience by Morgan McCall, he talks about real development doesn't occur in the classroom or in seminars, but in real-world experience. And you provide many of those recommended real-world experiences in your EDR. I mean, I'll give you an example of one of the ways that we use that at Sears. We set up something called hardship briefings. And these were specialized coachings of high-potential leaders that followed a job assignment where they did not meet with the success that they wanted or that management wanted. So, as an example, you may have said in your EDR, you may have suggested that the individual, in order to increase their mastery of forward planning, say, that they spend more time in the beginning of a project to engage others in brainstorming. They might want to explore what-if scenarios. They might want to think out of the box. They might want to develop a set of contingencies. And so you would have been very, very practical and pragmatic in what you suggested. If we put that person into an assignment and they failed in that assignment, then we'd take them back through your suggestions, and we would explore how the outcome may have been different had they acted on your advice. So perhaps that person fell back into their linear problem solving, you know, that they'd always engaged in. So, you know, not only do the set of recommendations need to be actionable as they are in the EDR, but someone really needs to ride that process. Someone really needs to hold that hypo accountable, and you need the involvement of the executive staff as they were in these debriefings, these hardship debriefings at Sears.
So we're getting ready to jump into our last break. You're listening to What's Leadership Got to Do With It on the Voice America channel. And my guest is Shannon Levitt. If you've got any questions, you can call us at 866-472-5790. After the break, we're going to kind of wrap up around kind of the 6 points we talked about to develop a sound leadership program as we get into the final phase of this first show on leadership, which will continue into next week's show as well. So see you back after the break.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
If you currently or aspire to serve on a board or work in a leadership capacity for or with a public or nonprofit organization, where can you turn to get the best advice and practices? How about Leadership Matters with Dr. G? Our program discusses challenges facing both public and nonprofit leaders. Don't miss these practical solutions and tips to enhance your leadership style and effectiveness. Leadership Matters with Dr. G airs live Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. For the past 20 years, the Executive Group has helped organizations recruit, select, train, develop, and coach their most valuable asset, their people. Whether entry-level or top leadership, the Executive Group uses a variety of tools considered to be the gold standard in assessments and development to provide insight and direction to help our clients show the greatest return on their most valuable investment. For more information on how the Executive Group can help you link strategic intent with human capital, visit our website at www.theEG.com. 20 years of research shows us that 20 to 25% of an organization's sales force is underwater. A salesperson selling at 75% of quota is costing you at least $5,000, including opportunity costs. Our program, Developing Sales Force Effectiveness, shows you how to manage these underperformers more effectively. Improving the sales effectiveness of just two salespeople will give you a 100% return on investment. For more information, visit the Executive Group website at www.theeg.com. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. You are listening to What's Leadership Got to Do with It, featuring your host, Rick Thiemann. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to assessment@theeg.com. Now, back to Rick Thiemann.
Hey, welcome back to this fourth and final segment of What's Leadership Got to Do with It. Rick Thiemann, your host, with the firm Executive Group. It's a firm I started 20 years ago. You can check us out on the web at www.theeg.com. As we kind of wrapped up this last segment, we were talking about evaluating people, and interestingly enough, we talked about the behaviors of a leader. And it's interesting that leaders come in different shapes and sizes and different forms. But one of the things that's consistent that we found in our work, and also the work throughout the history of the 16PF, we found that there are specific behaviors, and there are really 8, and based on the kind of leader, maybe as many as 11 different behaviors that we can identify in successful leaders. And as an example, one individual that I worked with, who was at a very large automotive group, who was in logistics, was then promoted to running his own plant. Then I followed him to that plant and became his coach and his advisor and mentor in the leadership world with his staff. He then from there went to a major automotive client, where he was international manager of logistics. From there he went to a major steel company and is now the vice president general manager of a major steel company overseeing 3 steel plants. Just a brilliant guy. And if you were to look at his assessment data and his 360s, it's no wonder that this executive has done so well everywhere he's been, because he just has all, not only does he have the right behaviorals and the right mentality, he's got the right competencies. So we can really help an organization take a look at their leadership staff and right size the leadership staff, and using the old good to great theory, you know, getting the right people on the bus and in the right seats. Or maybe even it's just a matter of getting an executive turned back around where he needs to go. But that assessment process is huge. But it moves then to the accountability piece. And then from the accountability piece of holding that executive accountable, it's then to a lot of the work that Shannon's really done on the back end, and that is, you know, we've got our competency model, we've got our business model, we've got the leaderships in place, we're starting to fill the pipeline, we're looking at our succession planning, where our emerging leaders come from, who's next in line, who can we develop, and now it's the ongoing support. We spoke earlier about the Total Beverage University and the classes that were being developed that Shannon had, and some of the ongoing work now that says, how do we get that executive to the next level? So we put the coaching in place, we provided the feedback. Maybe it's the executive development report that Shannon spoke to, we did for Corporate Express. Maybe it's even just our more of a simplistic version of our management development report. But you've provided all those reports, development, feedback, maybe one-on-one coaching. And now, Shannon, let's talk about the back-end stuff, how we get this thing really to the next level where all the things are in place, but we don't lose any traction.
Right. Well, you'll remember at Pepsi Americas, one of the things we did in our talent management process included the use of color coding the overall health of our pipeline as red, yellow, or green. And this was based on our analysis of our supply versus demand, taking into account, you know, promotions, retirements, a historical view of unanticipated turnover, and so forth. And so looking at those business units, et cetera, individuals that were roles that were yellow or red, it really helped us focus our limited resources on the key skills that were most essential to business success. One of the things I've had great success with doing over the years, and that leaders really seem to resonate with, is taking things out of the classroom and the seminar room, and developing business-based experiential workshops. We did it at Pepsi, we did it at Sears and at Corporate Express. And there what we do is we compile sets of data and case studies for the individual hypos in teams. But these case studies are not hypothetical. These are real chronic issues that the organization has been facing for a period of time. And they don't have an easy fix. And so while you may do a little didactic teaching up front, say, around strategic thinking or systems thinking or marketing or whatever, the majority of the learning takes place with those teams doing a deep dive into the data that you've provided them and then using the process that you give them to try to resolve those issues. Now, a lot of the accountability comes on day 3 or 4 whenever they conclude, and they present back to the executive team. And the executive panel is very well versed in terms of holding their feet to the fire, the hypo's feet to the fire, in terms of did you follow the process and did you come up with a solution that met the criteria you were given. And so, you know, I find that accountability really is much more easy to achieve if you align it with the needs of the business and you don't just send someone off to a workshop or have them read a book.
Shannon, have you found, you've been with Tenneco and you've been with McDonnell Douglas and you've been with Pepsi and Sears and Corporate Express, some very, very large organizations, more sophisticated in nature, but also then very disjointed in some of the culture and things that come into play. But were you more successful, and this is probably a given question, but were you more successful in those organizations where the leader was actually making sure that the organization was driving what we wanted to accomplish from the OD perspective, and maybe even less successful when you couldn't get the leadership to really back you?
Absolutely, and that really doesn't have anything to do with size. That has to do with really the commitment of that executive team. And I go back to where we started the day. As an OD person, you can alienate yourself from that executive team real fast if you're talking jargon and you're throwing out a lot of psychobabble. If you keep it business-focused and you involve them every step of the way, all the way up to the development activities that you're going to run for that high-potential team, then you're going to be much, much more successful.
So as we look at then, you know, our show today was called Developing Leaders from Within, and it was more about really the 6 steps that as Shannon and I have kind of worked together over the last 10 years, 11 years, whatever it's been. But as we've looked at what's the difference between a good, better, or best type of leadership program and some of the things that Shannon has been involved in and the privilege I've had of working with her, because as I said, I'm serious when I say this, in 20 years of doing this, Shannon is one of the very few individuals at any level in organizations that I've had the privilege of working and doing the kinds of leadership work that I like to do and think is necessary, because it takes not only a commitment, it takes a financial commitment. And that financial commitment sometimes is larger than what the organization believes or is ready to swallow, so to speak. So I want to thank those who have joined the show. I really want to thank Shannon Levette for her time today. We're going to continue into next week's show on the whole subject of leadership. Going to get deeper into leadership per se. Today's focus was just on covering, so what do you have to have in place to have a strong leadership program? What are the fundamental components that are necessary? My work with Shannon has been enlightening and rewarding and even knowledgeable from helping me build my practice. And Shannon, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for our friendship and our collaborativeness over the years, and for being on the show.
My pleasure, Rick. Thank you for having me.
As we wrap up today's show, again, you're listening to What's Leadership Got to Do With It. Our website is www.theeg.com, and you can listen to other shows where we've talked about assessments and building a business focus and developing a corporate culture and developing teams, where we've brought other guests on. And as you, those of you who will probably understand or come to understand, is that the shows that I have are based on bringing in clients I've worked with, in most cases on at several locations, as all the other shows have been, so that you can see the breadth and depth of our work and the kinds of things we like to do in terms of being collaborative and the business relationships that we try to build. And our goal here at the Executive Group is to become a strategic business partner to help those organizations grow and sustain a healthy business. We hope to have you back at next week's show, which is, again, a continuation of leadership. And the book should be ready at our last show, which airs December 19th. And the book is called What's Leadership Got to Do With It as well. So we look forward to having you back next week. Take care.
Thank you again for tuning in to What's Leadership Got to Do With It? Please join your host, Rick Thiemann, again next Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. Have a great week.